Hello, this is Dave with the News Gazette for Sunday, this January 4th, 2026. We'll begin today's reading with the front page, headlined For Sale. It's the weekend special, Champaign County Government. Former headquarters listed for $3.5 million. By Jana Wiersema, Urbana. A property that previously served as the headquarters for Champaign County Government is on the market, with a current asking price of $3.5 million. The Brookins Administrative Center at 1776 East Washington Street has been listed with the Troutman Real Estate Agency, which described the 20-acre property as a large-scale, multi-tenant office campus with about 93,000 square feet of space. Using Troutman to put the property on the market is just kind of picking up a ball that was set down probably early last year, County Executive Steve Summers said. He said the Champaign County Regional Planning Commission had expressed a desire to purchase a property and move out of the Brookins facility, but then decided to stay amid uncertainty about grant funding under the new federal administration. Since then, they've reassessed that and have indicated that they are looking to acquire a different property, Summers said, adding that it seemed wise to check and see what interest is in the market for Brookins. Most county offices, aside from various legal departments located at the courthouse and a few housed at other facilities, are now housed in the Bennett Administrative Center at 102 East Main Street in downtown Urbana. The county began the transition in April and was completely moved in by midsummer, Summers said. The center was dedicated in July. However, County Auditor George Danos continues to work out of the building. I do not see the Brookins selling quickly, Danos told the News Gazette. When it does, I look forward to moving into the Bennett Center. Additionally, Summers said that the Illinois Attorney General still has a regional office at Brookins, but the state agency has signed an agreement with the county and will move into the Bennett Center early this year, probably within the next few months. According to Summers, the county's lease with the Regional Planning Commission lasts through the end of 2026. We've got basically a calendar year at this point to make a decision as far as where the auditor would go and if RPC is able to purchase a property and move out, he said. Delitzo Soliamoyo, CEO of the Regional Planning Commission, said the agency is still in the process of negotiating to purchase a building and therefore cannot disclose its location. He told the News Gazette that the organization has been searching for a new home on and off for the last few years. Things have been kind of up and down, he acknowledged. But as you know or may not know, the Regional Planning Commission is primarily funded by grants, both federal and state. So when you're in a grant-funded environment, uncertainty comes with it. So Lamoyo added that if a deal is reached with the property's seller, the agency will need authorization from the county board before making the purchase. Continuing on the front page, from Christie Clinic, an article titled Chief Medical Officer Set to Pass the Torch January 15th. This is also by Jana Wiersema, Champaign. A little over 20 years ago, Dr. Andrew Bartlett was asked during a job interview if he had any interest in leadership. I'm like, oh God, no. Why would anyone want to be an administrator? Bartlett told the News Gazette. I went to school for all this time and spent all this money on my medical education. How dare you think I'm not going to practice the rest of my career. However, over the course of the 22 plus years he has spent at Christie Clinic, Bartlett's perspective has shifted. In addition to practicing internal medicine, he currently serves as Associate Medical Director of Clinical Research and will take over as Chief Medical Officer on January 15th. Dr. Candace McGregor, Christie's current CMO, is stepping down from her administrative role, but will continue to work as a gynecologist part-time. McGregor, 47, joined Christie Clinic in 2009 and became CMO in January of 2022. There wasn't necessarily a timeline. I just wanted to do it to where I felt like I could give it my 100%, give it my all, she said. And that's what I did. And just at this point, I just want to slow down and I don't want to work 70 to 80 hours a week anymore. I have a lot of things that I want to do with my time, and I'm trying to hike the Appalachian Trail in sections, and I'm going to be an empty nester next year. When asked how he's feeling about his new role, Bartlett replied that it's exciting and at times a little petrifying. The organization's placed an incredible great amount of trust in me to be able to help shepherd the medical side of our business and make sure that we are doing the best we can for patients and the best we can for doctors, he said. It's his goal that, all things being equal, patients would choose to go to Christie because we give them the best possible experience that they could have. Bartlett, 52, is giving up his role as Associate Medical Director of Clinical Research on January 1, but will continue to practice internal medicine and serve as Chief Clinical Officer at Stratum Med, which is in charge of Christie's Accountable Care Organization. We feel like it's really important to have our physician leaders still being in practice, he said. It's hard to have credibility with the rank and file when you're not practicing yourself. So Dr. McGregor continues to work one day a week in OB-GYN, and I work one day a week still in internal medicine. Bartlett added that he enjoys that day as it's a chance to do what I still love to do. When I go to my practice, I get to see challenges and I get to view our work with the light of an administrator, McGregor said. And then it's not really a balance, so to speak. It's like, what can I pull from one to the other? So as CMO, I learned great things that other departments or other physicians have done and accomplished great wins. And then I get to take that back to my practice and work with my team to make that happen, and vice versa. When asked what she's most proud of from her tenure, McGregor said healthcare organizations have faced mounting pressures over the past 4 years, including the pandemic, governmental administrative changes, and staffing shortages. I feel like we made decisions at the time that were very intentional about put the patient first in all decisions, and then what's in the best interest of the clinic second, then what's in the best interest of an individual provider, an individual department next, she said. And I think through that intentional and strategic decision-making, we've put ourselves in a position where we have continued to bring in excellent new practitioners. McGregor also noted that the company has added service lines such as behavioral health, and expanded its presence in the Bloomington market. We have done very well to not only survive, but thrive, she said. Of course, obstacles still remain. McGregor and Bartlett said that inflation, misinformation, and questions about the role of artificial intelligence in healthcare are some of the challenges their industry currently faces. Additionally, the local healthcare landscape was hit by two bombshell announcements in 2025, the shutdown of Health Alliance and drastic changes to services at OSF Healthcare's Urbana Hospital. All insurance plans provided through Health Alliance, a subsidiary of Carle Health, ended on December 31. As of April, the company's total membership was approximately 210,000, officials said. The Health Alliance closure hasn't really affected us too much. Other than we've been able to bring some employees on board, McGregor said. But our patients who are insured through Health Alliance have, for the most part, found other insurers. However, she said that the impact of changes at OSF's Heart of Mary Medical Center are more significant. OSF got approval from state regulators in September to move forward with its plans to discontinue several services at the Urbana Hospital, including comprehensive physical rehabilitation, pediatrics, intensive care, open heart surgery, cardiac catheterization, and 15 operating rooms. The company is also expanding Heart of Mary's mental health offerings and maintaining its emergency department, imaging, lab work, pharmacy, and outpatient services will continue as well. The plan is to transfer most of Urbana's general surgery, orthopedics, gastroenterology, and pulmonology cases to OSF Sacred Heart Medical Center in Danville, the company wrote in a filing with the state, adding that the cardiology program and staff are shifting to Bloomington. OSF's initial announcement in June said that the company was targeting a January 1 implementation date. However, OSF Healthcare President J.T. Barnhart, who oversees the Urbana and Danville hospitals, told the Urbana City Council in August that some of the changes had already begun due to staffing challenges. Christie has had long-standing relationships with both OSF and Carl, with some of the company's patients preferring one hospital over the other or vice versa, McGregor said. We wanted our patients to go where they wanted to go, she said, and so we are working with some of our patients who have wanted to get all of their care at OSF, and now some of those service lines are not going to be there anymore, and so we're trying to help make sure that they feel comfortable getting those services, either here in town at Carl, maybe changing a specialist or whatever, or can they go to OSF in Bloomington, or can they go to OSF in Danville? And we still help to take care of them. I think that has been a big challenge. Bartlett said that the change also raises questions regarding patients who have transportation limitations. However, McGregor noted that there is a need for more behavioral health services in the community. In the future iteration of OSF, if the future iteration of OSF is going to fill that gap, like we expected to. I think that is a great win, she said. Is there a huge loss associated with it? Yes, there is. I think that the inpatient service line is fantastic, and I think it's certainly a big need, and it'll be a referral source for lots of places in the state, Bartlett said, adding that he also hopes to see investment in outpatient services as well. He added that despite all of the unknowns, he still feels optimistic about the future of Christie Clinic. The joy of this job is that you're never sure where the next sort of crisis or opportunity is going to come our way, Bartlett said. So that's exciting for me, is to be able to really not even know what those challenges are yet, but to be able to be in a position to step up and meet them when they do arise. And inside the front page, we have Top of the Morning, something to get you going today, courtesy of Vice President Jim Rossow. The Champagne man who snagged a softball dropped from an aircraft at 250 feet in 2014 and played wiffle ball for 27 consecutive hours in 2021 has his eye on another Guinness World Record. Chris Shields is hoping to top the mark for largest game of catch set in September when 1,179 pairs, or 2,358 people, did just that at Montclair State's Yogi Berra Stadium in New Jersey. The Arcola High grad has the site, U of I Fields at Kirby and Lincoln, date May 9th, and motivation, previous Guinness certificates above. My main mission is to offer an opportunity for everyone to have a world record of their own, he said. Guinness has strict criteria. In this case, participants must be 10 feet apart in a fenced-in area and play catch for at least 5 minutes. Everybody has to be doing the same thing, Shields said. Could be eating spaghetti or building Legos or doing something as easy as throwing a ball back and forth for 5 minutes. He said there's room for 10,000 people at the campus rec fields, and we're hoping to get 5,000. The free event for ages 7 and older will include food trucks and water stations and benefit the Tom Jones Challenger League, among others. And in history, area history, in 2010, with the resignation of a city council member on deck and the April election among three write-in candidates to ensue, what to do with an empty seat will be among the topics of discussion for council members. Council member Gordy Holton is expected to resign following his recent appointment as Champaign County Clerk. That will leave his District 5 seat empty 3 months before the election that would have chosen its next occupant. State law dictates that a vacant council seat needs to be filled within 60 days. So what to do? International history. Today's highlight. On January 3rd, 1920, Boston Red Sox owner Harry Frazee sold the contract of Babe Ruth to the New York Yankees, beginning a championship era for the Yankees and decades of heartache for Red Sox fans. The Red Sox would ultimately break the curse in 2004, winning their first World Series in 86 years. On this date, in 1777, General George Washington's army routed British troops in the Battle of Princeton, New Jersey, a key turning point in the Revolutionary War. In 1861, more than 2 weeks before Georgia seceded from the Union, the state militia seized Fort Pulaski in the coastal area east of Savannah at the order of Governor Joseph E. Brown. In 1959, Alaska was officially admitted as the 49th U.S. state. In 1977, Apple Computer, months after its founding, was incorporated in Cupertino, California by Steve Jobs, Steve Wozniak, and Mike Markula, Jr. In 2022, a jury in San Jose, California, convicted Elizabeth Holmes of duping investors into believing that her startup company, Theranos, had developed a revolutionary medical device that could detect diseases and conditions from a few drops of blood. And continuing with our communities, Champaign County Association of Realtors titled Home Sales Down Statewide But Up Locally. This is by Rob Lecates, Champaign. Despite a challenging year statewide, year-over-year home sales were up by 5.1% in Champaign County in November, according to newly released data. The median price of a home purchased in the Champaign County area rose by nearly 16% to $235,250. But that was well under the state rate of $299,000, noted Caldwell banker broker Deanna Gauz, president of the Champaign County Association of Realtors. A lack of available housing stock contributed to increased median price, she added. When there are fewer homes available, then people are willing to pay a little more for them, Gauz said. Some of it is price increase in general, but some of it also could be equated to the people that have been in competition and paid over the asking price. While area home sales increased from 177 in November 2024 to 186 in November 2025, much of the rest of Illinois experienced a downward trend with a 9% drop in sales statewide. The National Association of Realtors doesn't anticipate any significant mortgage rate drops in the near future. The organization's chief economist projected sales nationwide will increase by 14% this year, Gause said. Gause said people are afraid to lose already established interest rates, so homeowners unhappy with their homes are choosing remodels over selling them. We have all these homes that could be selling, but the sellers won't release them because they don't want to sell for a lower rate, she said. While rates may be higher, she said this is still a seller's market for people to earn top dollar. Homeowners are going to be paying more for the house, and they're going to be paying more for the interest rate. So they're just kind of hanging on to what they have, she said. On average, it took area homes 41 days to sell in November, up by 28.1% from a year ago, and longer than the statewide average of 30 days. Through the first 11 months of the year, total sales were down slightly from a year ago by 0.87%. For the year, the county association has logged 2,289 total sales. And from the Ford County Circuit Court, sex offender who violated probation resentenced to prison. This is by Will Brumleave, Ford County Chronicle, Paxton. A Rankin man convicted of indecent solicitation of a child has been resentenced to 4 years in state prison after violating the terms of his probation. Judge Matt Fitton imposed the sentence in the Illinois Department of Corrections on Wyatt H. Morris, 29, during a resentencing hearing this week in Ford County Circuit Court. Morris was originally charged with indecent solicitation of a child, a Class 3 felony, in March 2023 after sending sexually explicit images to a 16-year-old victim via social media and soliciting the teen to engage in sexual acts, according to State's Attorney Andrew Killian. Morris pleaded guilty and was sentenced to 30 months of sex offender probation in March of 2024. Killian then filed a petition to revoke Morris's probation in October of 2024 after Morris failed to complete court-ordered sex offender treatment. Morris's prison term will be followed by 1 year of mandatory supervised release. Morris also will be required to register as a sex offender upon his release. According to court records, Morris also has a pending Class 2 felony burglary charge in Livingston County and a pending traffic case in Iroquois County for driving on a suspended driver's license. Protecting children from sexual exploitation is one of the highest priorities, Killian said in an emailed statement. Mr. Morris was given an opportunity to address his behavior through probation and treatment, and he failed. This sentence reflects the seriousness of his crime and his refusal to take responsibility for his actions. And the next article is from Carl Health. Rise in respiratory cases prompts stricter protocols. This is by Jana Wersima, Urbana. Carl Health has updated its visitor policy and masking recommendations for the time being, with the health system citing increasing rates of respiratory illness in central and southeastern Illinois service areas. The temporary changes include limiting patient rooms to two visitors at a time, who must be 18 years or older. Additionally, individuals who are experiencing symptoms of respiratory illness are strongly encouraged to mask up while in Carl facilities. Such symptoms include coughing, congestion, aches, nausea, or fever. Carl Health continuously monitors the rate of RSV, flu, COVID-19, and other infections in the areas we serve and have seen a steady incline over the past weeks, said Dr. Robert Healy, Chief Associate Medical Director of Quality, Patient Safety, and Patient Experience. Based on this data and the recommendations of the Illinois Department of Public Health and CDC, taking additional temporary precautions in our care facilities is necessary to reduce the spread of illness. Carl will continue to monitor respiratory illness rates and update the community once the temporary restrictions are lifted, officials said. The organization's staff also are taking steps to minimize the spread of sickness. Continuing with area community news, Danville Area Community College, public censure of a board member to be considered. This is by Jennifer Bailey, Danville. Danville Area Community College trustees will meet in special session Monday night to consider approving a resolution to censure a board member. The meeting agenda states the board plans to go into closed session to discuss matters pertaining to the appointment, employment, compensation, discipline, performance, or dismissal of specific employees of the public body and approval of the written closed session minutes dated November 20th, 2025. DACC President Randy Fletcher and Board Chairman Greg Wolf said they couldn't talk about the matter. Fletcher said a board evaluation also has come up, and it's the board's intention to conduct a board self-evaluation Monday in or out of closed session. The board has invited an Illinois Community College Trustees Association representative to the meeting. Fletcher said trustees are relying on state direction regarding the self-evaluation and possible censure of a board member, and it will be up to the board at this point for any further actions. In December, the board approved a new College Trustee Standards and Ethics board policy. The policy, according to DAC officials, emphasizes the board's role in creating a student-focused learning environment, establishing college policies, and ensuring sound fiscal management. The policy also includes a code of ethics, stressing the importance of informed decision-making, harmonious collaboration among board members, and prioritizing the community's well-being over personal gain. Overall, the standards and code collectively serve as a comprehensive guide for trustees promoting accountable, ethical, and effective governance within a community college setting, according to the college. The new policy further states the board may, after investigation and upon written findings of fact, adopt by majority vote a resolution of censure with respect to any trustees who violate the provisions of board policies, standards and ethics, conflict of interest, and other policies that may be deemed relevant. And on the one more article, Crisis Rural Mass Transit District, ride service ceasing due to funding freeze. Accounting issues prompted action by state agencies. This is by Jennifer Bailey in Danville. Interim Director Carol Tim said it breaks her heart that the CRIS Rural Mass Transit District will no longer be able to provide transportation for dialysis patients and others. The organization on Friday announced that effective with its 6:30 p.m. ride that day, CRIS Rural Mass Transit will no longer offer rides in Vermilion, Ford, and Iroquois counties. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the News Gazette for Sunday, January 4th, 2026. Please stay tuned.